Matthew chapter 18. We're going to have two passages here to read. So if you could stand for the reading of God's word, we're going to read Matthew 18, 11. And then we'll read a few verses from Matthew 9. Matthew 18, 1 through 11. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. And whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet be cast into eternal fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And then jumping into the next passage, Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. Matthew 19, 13 through 15. Then were they brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, Suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you again, and we just ask, Lord, that you would open up your word to our eyes. Lord, help us see some truths that we can apply to our life, whether we be a child, whether we be a young person, whether we be an adult. Lord, help each one of us to draw truths from this passage, to be convicted where conviction is needed, and to receive comfort where comfort is there. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. So I have less than 10 minutes to get through a 9-page message. So today we celebrate the birth of Allison Dawn Neufeldt and Esther Elaine Vall. In our church, we are a family-orientated church. Our church slogan, which we don't really have printed, and it's not really, you know, out there. We should really put it on a banner. Is Bible-based, family-friendly. And that's what we aim to be. Is we aim to be based on the Word of God. We aim to be family-friendly. Now, in addition to being, when we speak about being family-friendly, we encourage families to raise large families as God would direct them, and raise them in a way that would please God. But in addition to being family-friendly, we are a family in ourselves, as a whole. As a body of Christ, we are a family. So whether a person is single or whether they have children, they are part of this family. And in no reason should they ever feel like they don't fit in, because they are a part of this family. We are a family of families. And the smallest family unit, in some cases, is one. But we aim to have that love in amongst our midst. I want to look at a few of the things that we see in these passages in the way that Jesus viewed children and how he still views them. I asked the children to stay in the service today because I want to show the children the character traits that please the Lord. And, you know, as we get older, it's easy to let those character traits fall away. Now, that doesn't please the Lord, but that does happen. And so often children fall away from the Lord entirely. And it's my hope that not a single child from our church falls away from the Lord. It's my hope that every single child in this church trusts Jesus Christ 100%. And we've seen churches where there's been children that have held out and have not trusted Christ. And that's a burden on your heart. But we want to see every child trust Christ and to be raised in a way that they will be, they have a firm foundation. And as they reach those tumultuous years, as they approach their adolescent years and adulthood, that they're firmly established, firmly founded, and that they have that such a relationship with their parents that they know who to go to when times are tough, and that they have an external family, that the family of this church, that will support their parents in no way contradict their parents. You know, we've been in churches where parents have set a high standard for their children. And others have said, well, you know, your mom, your dad, they're pretty strict. You really don't have to do it that way. You don't have to worry about that music. That's okay. You know, whatever the case might be. And in our we aim to completely support the parents as they raise their children. But, you know, what did the Lord say to his disciples? He said, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So this isn't just for a message for children. Adults don't need to check out at this point. This is a message for all of us. One of the things that I found interesting as I was reading these passages is in chapter 18, the Lord speaks about offending these little ones. This is verse 6 and 7. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. What a stark warning we have here against offending the little ones. What does it mean to offend them? What I believe the Lord here is speaking about placing a stumbling stone in their life that can cause them to fall, where they are disappointed, they're discouraged by something that someone has said or done. It is so easy to become frustrated with children, some of the antics they pull, as I was mentioning earlier. Yesterday, one of our children, who will remain unnamed, he went about to pour, I think, half of our shampoo and half of pretty much everything that was in the bathroom into the tub. And, you know, it made quite a mess. And of course, then you're thinking, oh, half a bottle of shampoo, you know. And of course, you've got to deal with these situations, but at the same time, we have to have patience. And remember that we were once in that same situation ourselves. I mean, my parents tell stories about me, you know, about me harvesting the carrots when they're this big. All of them. Try to be a helper, but still, it didn't help any. As I was growing up, I can attest to growing up and being bothered by the little urchins that ran around our church. You know, a couple of those little urchins, people like Richard Allen, who now pastors Okanagan Valley Baptist Church, his brother Adam, who is a faithful servant in the Beaver Valley Baptist Church. He works alongside his pastor. I was unimpressed with a young man at Beaver Valley Baptist that came after we had been there. We were coming by and visiting him, and I thought, boy, that guy looks like a rebel. Just give him some time, he'll be gone. He's done. And I was more concerned about the children, the teenagers that he was hanging around with at the church, thinking, man, they're going to get, you know, they're going to fall into rebellion just like him. I felt Ryan King. He went off to Bible college. Eventually, he became pastor of Bethel Baptist Church in Westville, Nova Scotia. You know, it made me stop and think when I started seeing some of these urchins grow up and their life turn around. They really get a hold of God and serve Him. It's really changed my outlook at children. I look at each child as I'm trying to imagine, what is that child going to look like when they're 20? What are they going to do? How are they going to serve the Lord? How are they going to be used in His harvest field? We're supposed to pray the Lord of the harvest. He'd send forth laborers into His harvest field. And, you know, sometimes we forget, we need to raise laborers. We need to raise harvesters. And, you know, sometimes we as parents, we might have that degree of patience for our own children, but sometimes it's not the same as the other child some other child in the church that bothers us. We have to have faith. We have to have patience with each child. We have to love each child. I mean, look what the Lord said here. He says, it's better that in verse 8, better that whoever offends that little one, that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depth of the sea. That is a stark judgment to say that. And there's that great woe unto the world because of offenses. It must needs come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. It's very sobering. I know I often fail in being a parent, having that Christ-like attitude that I'm supposed to have toward my children. But my goal is that every day, my hope is to be more conformed to the image of Christ every day, moving forward, being more conformed. You know, we lose so many children in this world. And many times we lose them because parents are living a double life where they're saying one thing and then they're doing a totally different thing in the home. We lose children because of the lust, the temptations of this world. And quite often, how those lusts and temptations are introduced into our home can be from unsupervised time with other children, where our children are spending unsupervised time with other children, particularly from worldly homes. But even in church settings sometimes, maybe at a church camp where there's maybe someone that's not been raised the same way, we've got to be guarding our children so carefully. We guard their heart, their mind. We guard what they see, what they hear. There's an old African proverb that I do not agree with. I'll tell you that right now. It says, it takes a village to raise a child. And that sounds nice. Hillary Clinton wrote a book called It Takes a Village. But the truth of the matter is that the community can certainly wrap their arms around that family. But it doesn't take a family to raise. Sorry, it doesn't take a village to raise a child. Some of you might be familiar with the name Bob Dole. He was a 1996 presidential candidate. He said, with all due respect, I am here to tell you it does not take a village to raise a child. It takes a family to raise a child. And that's very right. It takes a family. He's 100% right there. What does this have to do with bringing offenses against children? What I'm bringing this around to is the area of parenting children. We are to parent our own children, but we're to be very cautious about parenting other people's children. God has given parents that right, that authority to raise their children, that injunction to raise their children. And we got to be so careful about telling other children who are not our own what to do, when to do it, how to do it, unless we've been put in a position of watching that child and that is what what's expected of us. And, you know, I'm thinking of this because I'm thinking back to the offenses that we read here. I was once in a church service, and my sister and I were going through our Bible. I guess we were a little loud, and my dad was preaching, and I can't remember where my mom was, but maybe she was in the nursery or something. But we were being a little loud with our Bibles, and this lady turned around and just scowled at us. And you know what? From that day on, never cared for her. You know? And we got to be so careful that each one of us, you know, there are going to be things that bug you. You know, I've been downstairs and go through the lines. Like, you're going through the food line, you're looking over at the dessert and table, and you're like, oh, look at that. That's, I can't wait to get over there. And when you get there, it's not there. And you look over and you see this child that's got a plate like this of that same dessert, and you're like, but you know what? It's no big deal. No big deal. It's not my job to parent other people's children. It's not my job to say things to them, to try to. Now, certainly, we can, you know, if we see something, we say, you know what, I think their parents are probably going to want to know this. And, you know, that might be legitimate, but even then, we got to be careful. You know, in 6 years of being here, I think maybe I've done it. I could count on one hand how many times I've done that, you know, in 6 years. Let's leave the child rearing to their parents. Let's not bring offense to them. And you know, when you have those children that maybe they kind of bug you, something just rubs you wrong, pray for them. Pray for them. Say, Lord, bless that child. Help that child to mature, to grow up in your ways. Look forward to seeing that child. I mean, 20 years down the road, that child could be a leader in this church or in some other church. It could be a missionary on the foreign mission field. Think ahead the long term about that child. Some character traits that we see in Scripture that I believe the Lord finds very special in regards to children. We'll come back to some of the ones that are mentioned in this passage here. But you know, one of the things I think is simplicity. For sake of time, we won't go there, but in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, the Apostle Paul spoke about not coming with words of man's wisdom, but becoming to them with the simple words of the gospel. You know, children are simple. They don't make things, they don't intellectualize. Sometimes they're brutally honest. My friend, one of my EMT friends, she was in a lineup at a grocery store, and her four-year-old son said to her, he said, Mommy, that's the ugliest looking guy I've ever seen. He was a rig worker and in a pair of overalls and dirty and, you know, greasy, and the guy clearly heard, you know, and she's like, be quiet. And he's like, but he is. You just wait till we get home. And then the kid turned to the cashier and he said, I don't know why. Whenever I say the truth, I always get in trouble. Oh, that was so funny. And she's just beat red. And I, you know what? I'm glad this happened to her. She deserves it. She's that kind of a person, you know? She loves to tease and prod people, but she turned to that guy and she's like, oh, I'm so terribly sorry. He's like, it's okay. But children are simplistic. They're honest. They're sometimes brutally honest. Children also have an innocence towards sin. You know, a child goes through life and they don't see what us adults see. As we go through life, we start to see more of the sin, the wickedness. And I'm sure if you're like me, it weighs you down. I mean, not to the sin that you're, not to the point that you're despondent, but it changes your view of this world, and you're saddened to see it. A child has that innocence. And, you know, even as adults, we're supposed to have a degree of innocence. There are things that we will see and learn that will cloud that innocence. But you think about the Apostle Paul when he was speaking to the Corinthians, and he was talking about a sin that had happened in their church. And he said that it's a sin that's not even mentioned amongst the Gentiles. You don't even talk about it. And so we got to be careful about what we allow into our ears and eyes and what we allow to come out of our mouth. We got to be innocent towards sin. You know, for children, you're going to have many questions as you're growing up. many questions. You want to know this, you want to know that. I was listening to that story, The Hiding Place Again by Corrie ten Boom, a little while ago, and it's a good book. I would recommend that only adults read it, though. It's got some mature themes in it, but it's written by a godly woman about, it's just life during the Second World War. But you know, she was explaining how once she had a question for her dad. She asked her dad a very straightforward question, and he didn't answer her for quite a while. And then he said, "Corrie, can you lift up my suitcase and take it out of the train?" They were in the train at the time. I think he might have had it in an overhead bin. And she looked at him and she said, "Dad, I can't. That's too heavy for me." And he responded and said, "Corrie, there are things in your life that are too heavy for you. And it's my job to carry them for you until such time as you can carry them yourself." And his point was, With that question that you just asked there, you're not ready for it. And children, I'd encourage you, there will be these questions that will come up. Don't seek the answers from the world. Wait until your parents give them to you. You know, it's the same thing with Christian. God only gives us the answer when we need it. You know, it's so rare that God shows you 20 miles ahead, you know, spiritually ahead, what your life's going to be. Usually you just see enough to get around the next corner, and then there's enough to get around the next corner. And so with as adults, we're not going to see the end. We work towards the end, but we don't know what God's got in our life. As I think about it in adults, you know, with the internet has opened up so much. You know, I question whether maybe the internet has got more things against it than it does good. You know, you think about all the wickedness, the evil that's on there, all the false perversions, the false doctrine that's on the internet. You know, as adults, we can have a new story come up, and we say, "Oh, that's a very interesting story. That's very troubling, but it's interesting, and I want to learn more about that." And you know what? There are times when we need to say no. I know that story happened. I know it sounds like it was wicked. I don't need to know any more about it. You think of, again, I go back to Philippians 4:8, which I believe should be like a filtration system. When you think of filters, you got the, like, you know, when we go out and do a little bit of gold panning, never got anything yet, but go do a little gold panning, you can buy these different filters. Now I only have one, but you can get the coarse one that you could take out the coarse rocks, and then you get the smaller ones that take out the smaller rocks, and then you get it right down to the tiny, tiny ones. That leaves you with your black dirt where the gold flakes might be. Well, and you get the same sort of things in water filtration. Well, Philippians 4:8 should be a filter to our mind. What comes in, what we allow to come in. Again, in the context of being innocent to sin. Finally, brethren, what sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are of good report? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Eight things that we're supposed to use as a filtration system. And yeah, you might say, "Oh yeah, that news story, that is true. It's definitely true. Maybe it's honest. Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it a good report? Is there virtue in that story? Is it praiseworthy?" You know, we got to be so careful about guarding our minds, being innocent to sin. And you know, so often, parents in this world, they come against us and they'll say things like that we're brainwashing our children, or that we're overprotecting them from this world. It's not overprotection. We aim to prepare them for this world at the appropriate time, as they're going out into it. But they don't need to know all the sin and wickedness of this world, and we ourselves should not be dwelling on it. Think of some other aspects of being a child. Think of the generosity of a child. Now, some children are very possessive with their toys, and we certainly have that, some of that in our own home. We try to work on that. But I think of that unnamed boy who gave the 7 loaves and the few little fishes to Jesus to distribute. He could have easily have hoarded those for himself. The Bible says that they had not eaten, they've been with Christ for 3 days. And he says, why am I going to send them off fasting? This young boy could have said, well, I'm doing pretty good. I've got these loaves, and my understanding of the loaves is not like a loaf. It would be more like a hamburger bun sort of style, size. And he had these loaves. He's like, I'm good for a long time. I can keep going. Or, yeah, I can sell the lunch that Mom made me. Yeah. Look at these guys. Can you imagine how much they gave me for it? No, he gave them generosity. I think of the childlike faith. In our text in Matthew 8, verse 6, we read, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me. The childlike faith, to believe in Jesus. You think also of Matthew 21, 15 through 16, where we see the Christ coming in triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we read that the disciples were there crying Hosanna. Others were there, but we see children played a large part in that. I'll read it for you, you don't have to turn there. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased and said unto him, hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have ye never read? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. That childlike faith. Again, that's simplistic. It's not reading into things. It's not making it complicated, complex. Childlike faith. Next point is that in the area of humility. What do we say here in our text? Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humble himself. Children need to continue to humble. Parents strive after humility themselves. We all need to humble ourselves before God. And the Bible says he will lift us up. Not that we seek to be lifted up, but if we humble ourselves, he will lift us up. In Mark 10:15, the Lord said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter in. We have to receive the kingdom of God as a little child with humility. As we get older, our sinful nature starts to lift us up in our own estimation. Oh, you're beautiful. Oh, you're handsome. Oh, you're really talented. Oh, you've got a good job. Oh, you're really popular. All these different things, right? We're supposed to be humble. But thinking, this last thought here is thinking back to even the never mind being humble as a Christian. Think about the humility that is required to come to salvation. One's pride often stands in the way of them trusting Christ as their Savior. Our pride does not want to consider the fact that we are a sinner, that we're spiritually destitute, naked before God. Our pride wants to think that, oh, there's something good in us, some little light, little glowing ember that God will, that he likes. He will accept as payment for acceptance into heaven. Isaiah 64:6 rules that out. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Ephesians 2:1-2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead in trespasses and sins. We have to have that humility. We've got to come before Christ and say, I'm nothing. I'm a sinner. I've broken your law. I need salvation. I need to receive eternal life in heaven. You know, the kind of closing off this account, we think of chapter 19 that we read. Just one chapter before, Jesus said, He said, "Woe unto you that would offend a little one." And what happens? Parents bring their children to Jesus to bless them, and they rebuke them. Verse 13 of chapter 19. Then when these brought there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Forbid them not. Let's not have that attitude. But let's suffer the little children. Have that same sort of attitude that Christ would have, that the love that he has for children. And children, I encourage you to keep these attributes, to have that simple faith, to be innocent towards sin, to be generous. I had other points, but because of time, we'll leave it at that. But if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you've never repented of being a sinner, I'd encourage you to see yourself in that state, to humble yourself, and to seek God's forgiveness. And then as a child, to say, you know what? I'm gonna love the Lord. I'm going to serve my parents. I'm going to be obedient to them. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm not going to try to find out answers that my parents aren't telling me. I'm going to trust them. That is such a huge thing, trusting our parents. That they want the best for us. That they are putting safeguards in place so that we are not harmed. I encourage each child to do that. And then as parents, to say, okay, are we doing anything that would offend our child or someone else's child, to put a stumbling block there, to injure them in any way? And instead to say, no, I'm gonna show each child love. I'm gonna look towards the day when as they grow and as they mature, that they will love and serve the Lord. Let's close the song of invitation there. Brother Kuiper, if you could come at this time. I thank the Lord for so many children that we have in our in our church here. I've been in churches where there's been no children. None. Can you imagine? We have been blessed to have all these children here. And let's not see them ever as an annoyance. Let's always look towards the fact that they are a blessing and a resource towards the future generation. These are the laborers that we are praying for. And yeah, they might not be carrying a sickle today, but maybe tomorrow they will. And you know, children can witness. Children can tell others about the way of salvation because it's not complicated.
If you'll take your hymnals, we'll stand and sing 500.